You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Great to be with you today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California, and you're listening to a sponsored episode of Satellite Sisters. The sponsor is our friends at MEA, the Midlife Wisdom School. We align on a lot of values that MEA has, particularly the idea of moving forward into your life with wisdom and community and learning from each other. So we're thrilled to be working with MEA again on a new workshop that they're hosting in Santa Fe this June. That's right, at their beautiful new Santa Fe campus. It's called A Lifetime of Women's Wellness, Thriving Through Transitions. Oh my gosh, don't we all want that? A lifetime of wellness to thrive through transitions? Yes, MEA. Their goal is to help women destigmatize the aging process and empower women to fearlessly step into what should be a soul-kindling and transformative phase of our lives. But sometimes it's not so great. But don't worry, because we have a professional here to help guide us. We are thrilled to be talking to Suzanne Gilbert-Glenz. Now, Dr. Suzanne is going to be at this special workshop in Santa Fe. She is going to be leading it for all women of all ages who want to thrive through transitions. But today's podcast, we're taking a special look at menopause. That is her specialty. You know, she believes that women should be confident, that they should celebrate menopause. And she also has a great background of, you know, she's a real science nerd, as she says. She believes in the science of wellness, but she also has training in the ancient art of Ayurveda. So I look forward to talking to her. We asked her some of the questions you asked us. We're also joined by MEA's co-founder, Christine Sperber, and she's in charge of the whole experience at the Santa Fe workshop. But, you know, her expertise is in navigating midlife transitions. Some of them are going to be hormonal, some are not. And so Christine is going to tell us what it's going to be like at the workshop in Santa Fe. I hope that you can join me. I cannot wait to go. I think it will be exactly what I need at this point in my life. I'd like to thrive through this transition. And recent months, I don't feel like I've been thriving, but I want to change my mindset about it. So when I read Dr. Suzanne's book, Bootcamp or Menopause Bootcamp, and when I read about this workshop, I thought, sign me up. All right, so we're going to start this conversation. Now, the workshop is for women at any age, really, a lifetime of women's wellness. Thriving Through Transitions is the name of it. For our conversation, we did focus on menopause because, you know, sometimes it's all about me at Satellite Sisters. No, we had Dr. Suzanne here and we felt like we had to ask her about this ginormous topic. And I have to say, I didn't even know where to start. It's such a big topic, but she handled all my questions with aplomb. So stay with us. You're going to hear Dr. Suzanne Gilbert-Glenz, her thoughts on menopause, and then we're going to talk to Christine Sperber specifically about this workshop in Santa Fe. I hope you join me. Stay tuned. I'm so excited that Dr. Suzanne Gilbert-Glenz and Christine Sperber are joining us today. Dr. Suzanne and Christine, welcome to Satellite Sisters. Christine, welcome back. We love talking to the folks at MEA. You guys do an incredible job. So inspiring. And Dr. Suzanne, we could talk to you for the rest of our lives about, about this topic. I have been doing interviews for 25 years, and I don't remember one where I struggled over the first question so much because menopause is such a huge topic, obviously. Yeah. But I'd like to start by asking about the core philosophy of yours. You wrote in your book, you believe that menopause is a time of celebration, and you want women to rejoice in that journey. How did you come to believe that? I mean, that's a pretty radical idea from the generations of misery and complaining.
Yeah, so. You know, I came to it from, well, first of all, let me just acknowledge that it's not all fun. Like, it's hard, and change is hard in general. But my experience personally and professionally, kind of moving through it, you know, with my patients, watching my patients do it, and then me getting to that point too, was that approaching the change was stressful, especially when you didn't have any resources and you didn't have any expectation of what you could be doing or you don't know how to handle things. But that the change itself was kind of interesting, and just like any other actual journey, led you to a new phase, an adventure. Now, I happen to be a person who embraces and enjoys adventure. Not everybody likes that. I love a surprise. with the caveat being, like, you know, nobody likes a bad surprise. But so that was sort of, that's just a personality thing with me. And then the other thing that I also saw with consistently with the people that were going through it around me, you know, mostly patients. And then again, as I started going through it myself, the people who did have information and support were able to open up into this really interesting creativity, this time of expansion, this new beginning. I think, again, it's not like, oh, this is in your mind, and if you can just do the Jedi mind trick, then the experience of menopause somehow is not going to be unpleasant or challenging. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that and here's where my sweet spot is too. There's sort of the high level philosophical spiritual thought process, and then there's like the science of it. So we know that there is a science, for instance, of social connection. You know, we know that there is a science of community. We know that community is medicine. That is the medicine. And what I discovered further when I started actually creating these menopause boot camps, where I was helping to educate women and empower them with resources and a deeper toolkit, because I have conventional and traditional indigenous medicine in my background, I saw what happened. And what happened was, you know, I thought people were coming for education and information. But really what was going on was community building.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was a lot of the medicine. And that's actually been my experience repeatedly. So again, it's a complex answer that it's hard to simplify. Like you said, how do you take menopause, which by the way is going to represent a third to a half of a woman's life if she's lucky?
Yeah, right. Or healthy. That's a big number. Right. In a good way. Good for us.
So how are we boiling this down into a 2-second thing, which is why it's a 300-page book also. You know, but it really did become quite simple. It was like any other transition. And it's very interesting to me because the analogy that I used in the book was also of, you know, a caterpillar, a chrysalis, and a butterfly. And of course, Chip has used that analogy also, because I think and this is, you know, obviously how I ended up with MEA, because we have a similar idea about things. Going into a change, having the preparation, having the container, having the support, and then coming out of it transformed. That is beautiful. A butterfly is beautiful. The next phase can be beautiful. It is the narrative that we receive from the culture, from the patriarchy, is that we are done. Because we are done making babies for them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And this is, we could unpack this in 10 more interviews.
Right.
But that is, we've internalized that story. That's not my story. And so I think if someone is listening to this saying, something feels off, that narrative doesn't sit right with me, it doesn't resonate, it doesn't feel like who I am or what I want to be, then this experience is for you. Because I want to see us creating more spaces where women in particular come into the midlife understanding the opportunity. That to me is joyful. That is something to celebrate. That is where the ritual of community, as I mentioned, which is medicine, creates the next phase, right?
I think what's amazing is that, you know, this is coming to me at exactly that time where I was like, how could I articulate what's happening? Because some of the physical stuff isn't great, but I've had a real burst in creativity in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm very excited about the next, you know, 10 years of my life, even in the midst of a pandemic. And I had a cancer diagnosis 4 years ago. Mm. But I was like, you know, I'm still getting a lot done. I don't feel wrapped up. I don't feel like throwing in the towel yet. So I think it was just a mindset change. But you articulated it much more thoroughly than that.
Well, I mean, let me just say one more thing about that. And I think this is really interesting. And I just hit my menopause date. So 1 year past, you know, my last menstrual period. Interestingly, on my daughter's 23rd birthday, which is really, I don't know what to say about that. And I'm on the older side. I was 57. And I will tell you that I, despite all, whatever, life is lifing, life is in session. So trust me, there's been plenty of stuff going on that has rattled me, and it does rattle me. And yet the steady state, the lack of hormonal fluctuations is so wonderful.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants something to look forward to, like it has been mind-blowing to me. And I never thought of myself as a person who was so dominated by her hormones, which is also crazy. Coming from a gynecologist, like, really, what are you talking about? That don't even make sense. However, we're so identified with that. And that is who we are for such a long period of time, right? Hormonal fluctuations. Then it gets really erratic as you get closer to menopause, which is why you feel crazy.
Right.
Because it is crazy. And then
thank you.
Stops. Then you're in a steady state.
Yeah.
Well, my Lord, I'm like, this is how dudes are. Well, no one doesn't get so much shit done. I mean, not only is the system not against them, but they also aren't like up and down all the time. So that's the other thing. That's such a great thing to look forward to. You're not dominated by that. And it's not that you're not a woman. That is absurd.
Right.
The hormonal fluctuations, the organs, you can argue on this if you want, but that's not what makes us a female. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, because I think there's that grief around losing it, and that's okay too. That's really hard. The grief is a real thing. There are things we can do to honor that. But again, coming out of it, so if you're talking about what is joyful, what is celebratory, that to me, there's so much celebration around that for me, because I really do not miss that. I was in Target last weekend shopping, and I walked by the period products, and I laughed. I said, see ya, bitch. I just need to deal with it. Saved a whole lot of money.
Your book, The Menopause Bootcamp, I can't recommend enough. It's fantastic. It is just chock full of medical information. And I know that people listening want very specific questions, and you address everything in that book. But I think the thing that shocks me about menopause is that everyone's menopause is different. So it is sometimes hard to find the community around it, because you'll talk to people and they're like, I don't know, I didn't even notice. I just went through it, or it happened 10 years ago, or, oh, you know, it was a few hot flashes and I was done. And
Who are those people?
I have a couple of friends. I'm like,
well, no, I'm kidding.
Them?
I mean, they're not coming to me in desperation.
Yeah.
The reality is that probably about 10 to 15% of women don't have like such a rocky road. But
okay.
The truth is, most people do have more of a rocky road. But you're right. It isn't the same for everybody. And I think there are some commonalities. And obviously the changes in the bleed. And again, this is for someone who's not on medication, right? I mean,
okay.
I don't want to get in the weeds, but if you have an IUD or birth control pills, like, your experience is going to be very different. And that might be some of your friends, by the way, who didn't have a lot to say. But I also think that people don't have a lot to say, especially people who are older than us, because they sort of put it away. They forgot about it. It was unpleasant and nobody was talking about it.
Right.
You know, everybody is talking about it now. And I'm going to tell you that I have women coming to me 10 to 15 years younger than they were before the book came out 18 months ago, because now everybody's like, oh, well, wait a second. So this isn't me just, you know, being crazy and wanting to get divorced. You know, it's like, you know, and I hate to say being crazy, because that's the whole thing, but the mental health issues are a big thing. So one of the underrecognized symptoms actually that is much more common than people understand are mood disorders or changes in mood, specifically anxiety and panic, fatigue. So there's all these things that we don't necessarily recognize as being part of perimenopause. There's the obvious, the hot flashes, you know, all the tropes, right? The head in the freezer.
Right.
And the hot flashes, and, you know, vaginal dryness and that kind of stuff. And as I mentioned, the period changes. But I think there are a lot of under-recognized things. There are urinary symptoms. There are joint
symptoms. What someone asked about that, one of our listeners wanted to know about UTIs. Like, why is there a sudden increase and would hormones fix that?
Because estrogen receptors are found in pretty much every single tissue in your body. So as your estrogen is changing erratically and then declining, the estrogen isn't getting to the tissue. And that includes your brain, your heart, your bones, your muscles, your vagina, your urethra, your bladder, all of it. So people frequently are actually not having bladder infections, but they have irritative inflammatory symptoms that feel like a UTI and they're getting overtreated. Oh. Or they actually are getting bladder infections because the pH changes and the tissue changes. The tissue thins and becomes more susceptible. So you have a change in the microbiome, the microflora that normally live in the area shift and make you more susceptible. So there's solutions to all of this. But again, if you're not educated going into this, like you aren't even recognizing. So you might have people that were like, oh, nothing happened, but I'm on antidepressants, antibiotics, and I don't know, a muscle relaxant, or I had a shoulder surgery. And it's like, well, maybe all of that was actually related to the your lead up to menopause. We're understanding more about it now.
You know, HRT is something, obviously, it's funny, over the course of the 23 years of Satellite Sisters, we've run the whole gamut on HRT. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very pro-HRT. We talked about that nurses study. And then all of a sudden, oh, we had to put the brakes in HRT. And now it's back. And so we had a couple of listener questions specific to that. One of which is like, is it ever too late? Is there an age, max age to start HRT? I know there are recommendations.
Okay. So there's kind of two buckets that we talk about for using hormone replacement therapy, or what's now called menopausal hormone therapy. One is the symptoms, right? Like the obvious stuff we just talked about and symptom management. The other is for increasing health span. You know, for longevity, we know for sure that osteoporosis risk is reduced. The dementia data is sort of evolving and it's very robust. Women are 2 to 3 times more likely than men to have Alzheimer's specifically. And it's absolutely associated with menopause. Now, whether or not hormone replacement therapy diminishes that risk is becoming more clear. I think it's robust enough that I am taking hormone therapy for that reason. And then heart disease, which I think it's a similar situation. So if you look at that in terms of the health span increase, if you don't start hormone therapy within 5 to 10 years of your menopause, that last period before the age of 60, we don't really have good data to support that you're going to have that impact.
That's a pretty good range, though. That's a pretty wide range.
But if you're 72 and now you kind of missed the boat because you were in that cohort that got scared to use hormones and you come to me for that reason, I can't recommend it for that reason. But if you come to me and you're 72 and you're hot flashing every night and you're not sleeping and all these other things and you don't have any medical reason why you can't be on it, I would not say no. Now, there are doctors who would, and I don't think that's evidence-based. I do not.
Okay.
But I think it's all about informed consent, understanding what the options are, what the risks are, what the benefits are. And I say this all the time, especially this week, because there was a big, huge Lancet article that the Metaverse was en fuego, you guys.
The Metaverse.
Wild. Like my text thread is still going off right now about that. But I think if you don't have all the information, it's not on informed consent. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that again, because it's so simple. If you don't have all the information, it's not informed consent. If you're not having a thorough discussion with whoever's providing care, then you can't make a decision that makes sense. So if your doc is coming from a place of fear, or you're coming from a place of fear and you didn't hear all of it, that's not the best decision. Let's put it this way.
Okay. All right. Got it. You know, Christine, hang tight, because we're going to get to you about the experience in Santa Fe. But I wanted to ask one more question of Dr. Suzanne. You know, I love in your book when you refer to this as the menopause renaissance. Like, why do you think that is? Is it just that Gen X women are like, oh, we got to figure this out, man?
Yep. I really do think it's a Gen X thing. I really look at the three of us. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a Gen X thing. I think it's a combination of us kind of being fed up with the status quo. which is every generation has that challenge. I think it's some post Me Too. I mean, we're never going to be post Me Too, but you know, I do think that that had a big influence of like, wait, this is happening to me. This is happening to all these people. I got to stand up. You know, there's that first you know, visionary person, that courageous person that stands up first, and then everybody else is like, well, wait a second, I had that experience too. And I think it's the pandemic. I think it's a combination. I think everybody's sort of being home, really examining what was valuable, prioritizing, and then a whole bunch of Gen X women actually ending up online who maybe were not online as much. A lot of activity occurred because I already had been doing boot camps, was working on the book proposal, and all this happened. And you know this, how this works. It's from concept to book publication, if you're lucky enough to have the book purchased, it's 3 years.
Right.
So I'd been doing this work for a long time, but the pandemic really accelerated it. And the interesting thing for me personally and professionally is that I met all these other menopause thinkers, doctors, providers, influencers. And by the way, everybody who follows people online, we are all on a text thread. It's right. We're friends. We've become friends. We're colleagues. We share. We hype each other up. We get information together. We collaborate.
I love knowing that. As just a normal consumer of information from you and other people, I like knowing that you're all talking. And that's
amazing.
It's out in the open. And right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's part of what happened here. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great story. Okay. We are going to talk about the experience in Santa Fe. So stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters. We're talking to Dr. Suzanne Gilbert-Lenz and Christine Sperber about the exciting menopause boot camp that's going to be happening in Santa Fe. Stay with us. We're back. I'm so excited because I am going to the menopause boot camp, the pause that, what is, you have a good tagline. I want to say the pause that refreshes, but I think that's a Pepsi ad. The pause you deserve. That's what it is. I feel like I deserve this pause and I can't wait. So Christine, you know, is this the first time you've done something specific to menopause with MEA?
Absolutely the first time we've done something. So we've been operating our workshops for 6 years. And in the early days, there was barely a mention of menopause. I was most likely in perimenopause at the time, didn't know it, going through the symptoms, migraines, no answers about what was happening. And a few years ago, I started to get really curious about what was happening. You know, even in those early days when we weren't focused on menopause, there's so much value in the MEA curriculum. I know I'm biased, of course, but focusing on midlife transitions, being aware of transitions, having language to manage through transitions and the stages of where we are and kind of hacks to move us through those transitions, all really powerful work, but nothing specifically about menopause.
Okay. So did women demand it or did you think now it's time?
You know, I think there were a few nudges here and there. And then when it got so real for me and I started looking for information and found so very little at the beginning.
Just bring the people to you. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I combed and combed for the right thought partner. I really wanted to find someone who was medically credible with a holistic background who wasn't leading with weight loss. So much of the information 5 years ago was about weight loss. And at MEA, we are pro-aging. I don't want to do a single thing that adds to that shame cycle. Right. Mm-hmm. Around aging. And to find, when I found Dr. Suzanne, I was like, this is my thought partner. This is my wing woman. I was so thrilled to stumble upon her. And it feels like it's a very different discourse now, right? There has been a sea change in these last 5 years. And maybe it's confirmation bias, but I feel like maybe I'm following everyone who's on Dr. Suzanne's thread. I hope so. But it's feels to me very much like it was a conversation that was not happening 5 years ago. And I was kind of poking around in the dark and just thrilled to find you, Dr. Suzanne.
All right. So what can we expect during the week? What is the vibe going to be? What are we going to do all week?
I mean, during the week, we will definitely marry Dr. Suzanne's work with MEA's work, right?
Okay.
So we've got this balanced and holistic approach. We have more than six years of research and development around our curriculum about living a thriving midlife, right? So like full stop, away from menopause, we have a whole other spectrum of thriving midlife. So we'll marry that MEA work with Dr. Suzanne's really specific work around menopause and where we kind of cross over. I would say like our subset, if you were to make a Venn diagram of MEA and Dr. Suzanne, is so much around that social science of community and connection.
Okay.
Right. And it was when we started MEA, it was really the surprise for me. I thought people were coming to us for information, much like Dr. Suzanne. And the information, right, the academic work is very important. But when we saw what happened in community and people supporting each other, we have cohorts that still stay in touch and travel internationally and go to weddings and have weekly or monthly calls 6 years out, right? And now, as we've learned, social science proves that the strength of our social connections in our 50s impact our longevity. So we'll be doing this work in community. We've got our academic work, Dr. Suzanne's academic work. We've also spent a lot of time at MEA thinking about the emotional and educational arc of the week. We use tons of experiential education as well to, you know, it's almost like a buffet. You can come through and you can try all kinds of different tastes, take what lands for you, let go what doesn't work for you, know it's all on offer. And we'll do it in a, you know, on this luxury ranch that's basically custom built to support the work that we're doing around transitions. We are stacked. Our food will be great. We'll be talking about everything from nutrition, movement, mindfulness, growth mindset. Got so many tools. We're going to be throwing so many tools at you to try on.
You know, can I just say, as somebody who did a cohort this last summer, it's so fantastic. Like, you learn so much, but you are nourished. I slept better than I'd slept in so long. It's not like, you know, when you go to a conference, a professional conference, and it's like exciting and you're learning and you're exhausted, you need a vacation after the end.
Yes.
I felt completely recharged. It's in the most luxury. I mean, it was in the Baja location, but I know it's going to be the same. Just like luxurious, but real and tied to the earth in ways that I think are so important. Values embodied in the way MEA plans, executes, and runs these weeks. And I can't say enough about it. And like Christine said, our cohort still meets monthly. And I've created deep friendships with many of these people who are extraordinary. It's just,
I think that's really amazing.
Get enough of, like, it's very, very unique. Very unique.
I think that's amazing that friendship is one of the side benefits of this at a time when it can be really difficult to make friends.
Yes.
And meet people and add new people to your circle. So that's fantastic. Now, Dr. Suzanne, you've done these before. So, unique to menopause, what does the community add? We've talked a little bit about it, but is there something specific to this topic that you think women connecting with each other really brings?
Yes, I really do. I think it's sort of like a subset of what MEA has had, the sweet spot that MEA has discovered and helped to really grow, which is this importance of connections in midlife. I think as women, first of all, women are meant to gather. I mean, that is a very deep instinct for us. And if you look at all cultures across the globe, across time, women gather. It's a sewing circle. It's the red tent. In Western culture, I'll just tell you in my own experience, you have your school friends, you have your college friends, you have your friends in your early career. If you have kids, you have your preschool parent friends and school. And I think what happens in midlife is we don't have those places to gather anymore, where we are creating something together that we share, that we can move through together. And as I mentioned earlier, this idea of resourcing and supporting through a difficult challenge is, human beings always do this. We have failed to continue to do this as we age, for men and women, by the way. But specifically around menopause, I do believe creating this community is another way of creating a ritual around a transition that brings us together. And we're not alone. Loneliness is more dangerous to our health than cigarette smoking, okay? It's correlative. But that data was published in the last year. shouldn't surprise anybody. Loneliness is dangerous to our health. It's not only lonely, it's bad for us, right? Mm-hmm. So that to me is what we are creating. It's an opportunity to reconnect with women's circles of yore, share information, and share our energy and love and support for each other.
And Christine, Santa Fe is sort of the perfect place to do that. I know this is a relatively new location for you. Tell me a little bit about what you felt when you're there, like when your workshops have met there. What's it like there?
Can I jump in a little bit on what Dr. Suzanne just said before I talk to you about Santa Fe?
Yeah.
Because I'd love to embroider. One of our most base concepts at MEA is this idea of peer-to-peer learning, the fact that wisdom is not taught, it is shared. So when we can create this container that allows us to share with each other in a way that is authentic and brave and, you know, sometimes a little bit raw, it's the, again, these connections and learnings are so powerful. And so what I love about the Santa Fe campus, of course, I love the Baja campus. That's our home. It's our roots, our DNA. And who's going to be mad about being in Baja ever? Santa Fe, we've got 2,500 acres, right? And yeah, it's incredible. The sky is massive. We've got about 20-something miles of private trail networks. Mm. We have horses and donkeys and ranch dogs. And so I think about these retreat times as almost like a time out of time, right? It really is a pause to get you outside of normal life, to give you an opportunity to think big thoughts, to be exposed to new ideas and to new people, to rekindle friendships and connections. And also it's the invitation to be a beginner is so important for so many of us. We spend our careers being rewarded for knowing, being rewarded for being prepared. And I think that there it's even more upon us as women to know, to show up as an expert, right? Yeah. We're not always granted that same kind of space to be curious, especially in the workplace. And so to have all these factors happening on 2,500 acres where we can really control what's happening, we can create such a deep container because there's deep quiet. There's places to go for walks where you're not walking in to someone else's music or experience. Like we really can sink in. We can sink into the work. We can sink into the relationships and to each other and take a really deep pause for modern life for that week.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait. Oh, it sounds like it's just going to be amazing and very special. Is there any training I need to do? Do I need to read any books or I don't know, it's like juice fast? Is there anything I need to do? Dr. Suzanne and Christine, how do I prepare?
No, I feel like you just show up. That's the whole thing. Show up. Yeah. Just show up and receive. That's the cool part. Show up and receive.
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to going someplace and not being in charge of anything. Honestly, I am. Or not speak. I don't have to do the speaking. I just have to show up. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Isn't that the best?
It is the best.
We will send you a little bit of pre-work to go that is optional, but I recommend it does kind of help set the stage for the work that we're going to do. If you don't have time to do it, it's fine. You won't suffer for not having done it, but there's an identity cleanse that asks you to do a little bit of investigation around how your circle currently sees you. What is your identity to them? Mm-hmm. And opportunity to do a little bit of values work. We found that that's some of the most impactful work that you can do. Spend a little bit of time thinking about your values before you do this work or kind of any work. But again, like everything, it's an offer. Take it or leave it. We're going to see you in Santa Fe and we're going to spoil you in Santa Fe.
I cannot wait. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to being there. It was great to meet you today, Dr. Suzanne. I will see you in June, Christine.
Yes.
As always, the MEA, you know, values so aligned with the Satellite Sister values in terms of, you know, sharing wisdom and learning from each other and being supportive and kind. So we're so happy to be aligned with you. All right. I'm ready. I know we have to wait a couple months, but I'm ready to be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Leanne, and all the work that you do. Dr. Suzanne, you are the best.
I'm so excited to hang out with you and teach with you. What an honor. Same.
Oh, I just really, really enjoyed talking both to Dr. Suzanne and to Christine about this time in Santa Fe. I am really looking forward to it. Now, the dates are June 24th through June 29th. I'm going to be a student there just like you. So if you'd like more information about this workshop, A Lifetime of Women's Wellness, Thriving Through Transitions, or maybe you're just wondering, is this right for me at this time in my life? Am I in the target audience here? You can click the MEA Wisdom link in the show notes, okay? That will take you to their website. Or you can go directly to their website, meawisdom.com. You can read all about the workshop, but then you can also book a call with them to discuss if this is the right workshop for you, what's going to be happening, how does it all work? So you can go to meawisdom.com to book a call with MEA Admissions. I cannot wait to be in Santa Fe. It's such a healing, spiritual place. As it is. And so when you add in all these experts with their expertise and this sense of community, just really looking forward to the week. So again, go to the show notes. You're going to find the link to MEA Wisdom, or go to meawisdom.com to book a call with MEA Admissions now. The workshop in Santa Fe is June 24th through 29th, A Lifetime of Women's Wellness, Thriving Through Transitions. Thanks, MEA. We appreciate your support. Can't wait to see you all there.